Do you believe in the universe?
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
You know, Mike, you can still... Hello. Mike, you know what? You can sell it a little better, okay?
I thought I went in, I matched the mood of the piece. This is the Glue Guys.
You came good in evening. With the... You can turn the sound back up.
This is your favorite thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I drop it down.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here.
Don't golden oldies this, okay? This is the Glue Guys. This is the Glue Guys, damn it.
Did Thomas make that for you, by the way? That's very Thomas music now that I think about it.
No, I made that.
You should sell that to Thomas. His band. I think his band would love that.
Is that how bands work? They just buy music from others?
Sure.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter, FPK Glue Guys. Not SoundCloud really anymore.
No.
I shouldn't say that.
Actually, don't go to SoundCloud.
Please don't.
Expressly don't go there. Yeah.
Please don't. But go to Almighty Baller Network.
Yeah.
Which is where our stuff is housed.
Almightyballer.com. Like Almighty Dollar. I didn't put that together until I just talked to the guy on the phone.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And netsdaily.com. Welcome to the Glue Guys. Brian, big win. Post pod win.
Not back to backs, but a couple of wins here, Michael. A couple of wins.
That is accurate. They've had a couple of wins.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you, that Memphis game blew my hair back. I was like, who are these guys?
So I don't know. I haven't fully thought out this theory, but like, is there something to the fact that the trade deadline has happened and that the team has settled in at some point?
Yeah.
Is that a thing, do you think? Because they have played, they've had some bad ones, but they've played better since Lynn has come back and since the trade deadline has passed and that we know that Brooke is here, obviously Lynn and everyone else is still here besides Bojan.
Well, I mean, like, Lynn's back, so that helps to win games.
Right. Isn't that the thing?
I know you dislike this notion outright, but it is. It does seem like, I mean, Skoll's gone.
I miss him so much.
Your boy Randy Foy's in the starting lineup.
Dude.
Just crush.
I thought about it
people,
last night.
People, there's been such a weird mixed reaction to Foy being in the starting lineup on the internet, which I really enjoyed seeing people like just kind of the cognitive dissonance between game to game where like he'll, you know, he had a really good game against Memphis, you know, for what is asked of Randy Foy. And then, you know, people are like, yeah, but, you know, difficult. I don't want to be on here defending Randy Foy, of course.
That's what you're doing. that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. He puts you in a weird spot like that. Anyways, you're going to say something.
No. I was actually going to say what you were going to say was that, like, I thought during the game, you know, I famously made the remark in the beginning of the season that you'll never say, and Randy Foy hits a three. Yeah. And then he did, obviously, I forget what game it was, one of the 11 wins that this team has. Last night, he was pretty fantastic, 4-for-4 from three-pointer.
Yeah, no, you put together a game.
I am with everyone in the comments section where I'm an emotional pendulum.
Yes.
With Randy Foy starting. The positive is the fact that, like, it's obvious what Atkins is doing because everything we hear about Randy Foy is that he's a good guy, hard worker, and to show that you're rewarding him is a trickle-down effect to everyone else.
Is that the reason? I mean, because let me tell you, people, you know, by proxy, have been laying into Atkinson for the decision to play Randy Foy over who, I guess, over Sean Skilpatrick. I mean, what's the alternative
Whitehead,
in this case?
More Whitehead.
I mean, I told you when we were G-chatting, I was literally flexing at my TV last night watching Isaiah Whitehead. I mean, this guy is actually...
Love him. Did you see what he posted today? I think it was on Twitter.
No, I didn't see.
He said there's a shot, a picture of him like making a layup over Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Both number 15 and saying, you know, really excited or like proud to do this over the original. You know, like basically like giving homage to Nets of days past.
Pronounced homage. Homage. I mean, he's got a very interesting game. I mean, like, so basically, like, if I could just watch what happened at Memphis night in, night out. Like, if that was the ethos of this team, you know, our basketball philosophy is just kamikaze dive bombing the front of the rim all night. Like, that's awesome. I could watch that all the time.
I think we're seeing, this is a change. This is what's happening. Yeah. There's a different way this team is playing. And that's it. It's
And Whitehead is maybe my favorite to watch of all those people because he's just a real wrecking ball. He just goes right into the chest in enormous human traffic, doesn't seem to mind all that much, squeezes in, like, push layups that are very awkward, and then also will, like, block the S out of Marcus Sol, you know, on a play. Like, just gutsy, you know, and a very stoic player, which I always enjoy. I always enjoy this.
He's got a great neck bend. He's got that sort of, like, alert owl look to him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? He's kind of looking
around. I kind of don't understand his body, really. Like, I don't know.
Break it down
that
for
I would
me.
Know what it looked like without a shirt on. You know what I mean? Is that a weird thing? That's a weird thing to say. Yeah,
that's what this we're here for.
It's not the weirdest thing I've ever said. But yeah, like I don't.
But
really...
keep breaking it down. Let's go deeper into that hole.
I can't
and
tell.
That's what she said.
I can't tell. It actually kind of reminds me of your body, Mike. If I could be honest, I didn't teach you that. So yeah. I'm gonna have to take that out.
I will take that as a compliment.
Yeah,
but I also will be afraid for you.
Yeah,
if that is what you think.
Yeah.
I appreciate Isaiah Whitehead's body.
I know it's okay. So okay, yeah. We were just talking about this earlier. You're a guy that needs to work out constantly, otherwise, you know, I'll have a hard time keeping the poundage up. Is that correct? Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Is that right?
I was. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
And I was a peewee wrestler,
mm-hmm.
not pro wrestling, Greek yeah. Roman style.
You were the goalie in everything you did, right? Is that the you were?
No,
you're the catcher.
No, I was the jock, good looking guy, and everything. No, that's not true. I was the guy who's making jokes and grabbing snacks first.
Yeah.
That's who I was. But I was in a peewee wrestling. Let me get this. Yeah. I was in a peewee wrestling thing first grade through eighth grade. Everyone was in it. It was all weight class. And I was the heavyweight wrestler in fifth grade. I was a big boy. Keep the pounds on. Isaiah Whitehead, though. Let's get back to him. I'm totally in love, I'll say it, with this whole draft class. And I was against the Thad Young trade. I don't know why now. I mean, now it seems totally ridiculous. If this team had Thad Young,
yeah,
it would be awful. Love LeVert. I mean, you said you were listening to the Memphis feed, and they were going...
They were just over the top. They were effusive about LeVert. Couldn't shut up about Caris LeVert, which I get. I mean, like, when I'm watching it... By the way, let me just drop a little LeVert alert on this thing. Wait, time. They could not stop talking about this guy. And
that's it?
I didn't want to go the whole way. But listening, first of all, I think I'm going to make a habit of just watching. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Yes Network, and I love listening to the
right.
guys.
Of course.
But I feel like I learn a whole lot more about what other teams think of us and what their problems are. And I'll get to this later in the when we do some killer comparisons. But
love it.
But
by the way, for all those who are joining us as listeners, we haven't done killer comparisons in a while, but
it's been a long time.
It is something to listen to.
We've been pretty serious lately with all these guests.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry. We apologize. But
get back to our roots of just jerking ourselves around. But yeah, no, it's been. I feel like we're being inappropriate tonight.
No,
we're
going
to have to
fine.
Do some editing.
Right. We are drinking Caribbean beers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
where were we?
I think so. My favorite LeVert is, and I said this to you in G Chat, as we'll keep referencing, but. Secondary ball handler LeVert, not point guard LeVert. I like LeVert at the 2 and the 3.
Yeah.
I like him using his playmaking against guys who are less used to handling guys who can playmake.
Yeah.
Where if he's a point guard, because LeVert is tall, but he doesn't have width or size. He's not like a Whitehead. He is best when he is the guy who's catching the pass and then making the move as opposed to the guy making the pass.
Yes.
I love him. I mean, we're riding off this high, this Memphis game, and it's pretty hilarious. Like, I think Brooke Instagram for the first time in a month after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Team win. He tagged pretty much everyone on the team in his picture of him defending Marc Gasol or going against Marc Gasol. Booker was great. Whitehead was great. Kilpatrick was great as usual. But so, I mean, it's... And as you said, there's been an interesting, and I think it's epitomized by Rondae Hollis-Jefferson the most, is this sort of new way that Atkinson is telling these guys to do, which is just catch the ball and drive to the hoop and just throw it, almost just like just throw it up, because you're either going to get fouled or it's going to go in or someone's going to rebound the ball. And it's so much more fun to watch than that three barrage earlier in the season.
We'll say to your earlier points about LeVert, I think LeVert is the person I trust most on this team in a mismatch at this point, outside of Brook. Like, I feel pretty good about what he can do against smaller or larger defenders of any kind, taking them off the dribble or just shooting over the top of them or passing over the top of them in the case of a smaller defender. But the thing that's really kind of blown my mind, and this was especially true in the last game against Memphis, was Rondae Hollis-Jefferson can, like, suddenly run the break more effectively. You know, he's, like, ball handling, running at full speed. Seems to be, like, figured out, you know, or not as much of, like, a train wreck as it used to be.
Well, and I don't, and I always thought it was, and, you know, it could be different, but I always thought it was a mentality thing with him.
Yeah.
He's not the smoothest ball handler. Like, there was a play last night when I forget who it was. It may have been LeVert who passed in the ball on the break, third or fourth quarter, and he did a crossover against, I think, Vince Carter, and it was, like, the most out-of-control crossover possible. But he crossed him over and then got to the hoop and scored. And it's like something's happened with Rondae, and maybe it's just he's gotten more comfortable with being a pro, but he is decided the player he's going to be is, I'm going to drive to the hoop, I'm going to be super aggressive, I'm going to get rebounds, and I'm not going to worry about being, you know, like at one point people thought he could be like the next Kawhi. Or, you know, that was what the projection, that's what we wanted. He's not a hold the ball wing player. Decide, make a move like Carmelo is, you know? He's like, he's doing the right thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, but, I mean, we're being really enthusiastic, and that's because we've got a win. And you know, it's hard to go through the whole season without some...
without a win?
Some ebullience over a win or two. But there were some losses in there, Mike. There were some losses.
And I immediately dumped those out of my memory. That's what I do. I just... Because I think that's where I think everyone else is kind of there at this point. Because you just look, you watch these games, and they immediately start getting blown out.
You know what's great about this team? I can tell within about 5 minutes if we're going to win or lose.
Sure.
Tell. Like, I was watching that Memphis game. I was like, I think we're going to win tonight.
Yeah. The whole time it was like, all right, this is maybe going to happen.
Yeah.
By the way, Memphis is a super fun second unit. Their second unit is like Vince, Randolph. There's like a couple of other dudes. Andrew Harrison is about, I think that's his name, right? The starter who's the two guard who literally did nothing.
Yeah.
He was one of the Harrison twins. Yeah. He is the least impactful starting player in the NBA, has to be.
I watched that whole game and I just was reminded of his existence. Yeah. I just said that.
He's out there with Connolly, Gasol, Brandon Wright, which is really interesting that they have Brandon Wright going with Gasol and whoever else they have on that team. But
Connolly suddenly got real good, too. That guy's making, like, stupid hard shots.
Well, if the team Nets still had Lionel Hollins, he'd be playing for the Nets. You know that, Bri.
Can we get him on? Can we get him back? Sorry, Lionel. I'm just kidding.
Don't say that.
I know.
I wonder where Lionel is, what he's doing right now. But
he's doing commercials for, like, Ben Gay or something I saw.
That's right. Yeah, so the Nets got to win.
Woo!
And that's where we are. We'll keep monitoring the situation.
Do you want to do some news, or we just go right to the killer comparison?
Let's do killer first, and then news.
All right, good. Let's make sure the volume doesn't crush everyone's face. I'll turn it down a little on my end. I hate how... a little Caribbean Presidente. So... Like I was saying, I watched the Memphis feed on this thing, and I was inspired by a couple of things. So I've got a pair of killer comparisons here, and the first one's a quick one. I'll just go through this really quick. So I don't know who's doing the Memphis.
Explain killer comparisons.
It's just stupid. It's just us stupidly talking about things in the NBA and like trying to like make little weird games out of it. Is that? Anyways, so Memphis Grizzlies announcer, pretty audibly sounds like Vince McMahon, and I thought that was a good, like, if it was Vince McMahon, that would be a good fit culturally for, he's got a gristled voice, he's, you know, fits the grindhouse kind of mantra, and I was thinking, like, maybe we should do some, like, celebrity voices if that was going to be a thing for the announcing tables of various teams. I don't know how you want to do this. If you want me to read the people first, and then you can fit them around.
I think that's the best way.
Okay, I'm going to read all the people first.
No. Why don't we read each person?
Yeah, read each person.
And then we'll
fit them.
Well, yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
It feels like the Spurs to me.
I could see the Spurs. I feel the Warriors because they're almost basketball Nirvana. They're sort of the heaven, and he's the voice of God.
Yeah,
and he could match the sort of the beauty that they play. That's how I'm coming from.
The thing is, I feel like there's an excitement in Golden State.
Sure. Okay. I see.
And he would be more like narrating a very, you know, very evenly narrating, like, you know, Tim Duncan would.
Did you see the Kawhi play from last night, what he did?
You know, I keep hearing about this on Twitter and stuff, and I never got
super,
to it.
It's super lame NBA basketball, but basically.
Super lame NBA. That's what we do here.
He hit a three at the end of the game, then came down and blocked James Harden's shot and got the rebound eventually off the other missed shot. And I just, that's the NBA star that I most want to get inside his head, because we have no clue who he is as a person.
He's a bit of an enigma.
We have zero clue who he is.
Bit of an enigma.
And he barely even celebrated. So I like your Spurs. I think Spurs works.
Okay. Alan Rickman.
Oh, R.I.P. Alan Rickman. Okay. You know what? I could kind of see it as the Nets a little bit, actually. Yeah. I could see, because Slytherin is like the Nets.
It is, and it's like a sad, it's almost like, you know, they're kind of like pathetic a little bit, Slytherin.
And his voice.
Again, don't mean to call the Nets pathetic. I know
we're all love here.
All love. We're big fans.
But you could kind of see his voice, like, it's sarcastic in his delivery. And it's like, I'm not going to do
also,
it.
Plus, your dog's looking at your beard, dude. Watch out.
Oh, that's cute.
Plus, also, the Nets are like, you know, had kind of, oh, my God, why did you go right in after it? You didn't have to. You could have waited a little bit. You're like, nah, I want that one that was fresh. Oh, God.
She's a beautiful dog.
I wouldn't have held it against you had you waited a minute.
But no, I would be more grossed out if you drank my beer than she did, because she is so precious.
Really?
Oh, look at this face. Brian doesn't like my dog. Inside. Brian,
this not liking dog propaganda is.
You get so mad. It's fine. You don't like my dog. I don't care. Okay.
I've had to express myself around other people's dogs. Anyways.
Rickman.
Good fit. Solid. I like it.
By the way, where'd you get this list?
I just printed it out.
No, but like, where did the...
What's the search that I put
in?
Yeah,
because I'm looking at the pictures.
Oh, I just... 15 actors with incredible speaking voices.
So. Okay. Because the next one I think is...
James Earl Jones.
Okay.
So that one for me feels like, you know, that's Evil Empire. You know, at this point, it's either, you know, the Warriors or the Cavs or something.
It's the Cavs. I think the Cavs, especially with what they did at the like free agent buyout market. I think it's the Cavs. I think he makes sense for the Cavs, and he also makes sense for old Lakers. Kobe Shaq Laker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Jean Reno?
Who's that?
He's the French actor maybe he's French Canadian. No. I don't know, it doesn't say.
Was he the guy from
Professional.
From The Professional. What hits your mind on him?
Toronto. I don't know why.
Well, yeah.
It's the French Canadian.
The French Canadian. Even though
he may not be.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Is that
not
Sarah Paulson?
Yes. No, that's Kathleen Turner. I don't know. I don't even know what Kathleen Turner sounds like. So let's just go on.
I honestly, I know she's an important person, but I have no clue what she sounds like. Sidney Poitier.
You know what? Okay, yeah, sorry. I just saw the next page. Anyways, go ahead.
I'm going to give you different actors. I'm going to just change this up on you. Unless you got someone really good coming up.
Alec
next.
Baldwin.
Ooh, well, he's Knicks.
Obvious Knicks fit.
New York.
And then there's Sam Elliott, who's the
cat. Oh, yeah. Know. Yeah. Well, I mean,
and then that, I kind of feel like should have been, oh, Mavericks.
What do you want, Spurs?
Kind of Spurs, but then.
Either or, right?
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson.
Huh. For some reason, the Bulls.
Yeah.
I feel like the Bulls fits aggressive.
They are. They always have that angry bull face all over the place. It does feel aggressive.
That is the most of any mascot. Yeah. That is Samuel Jackson. I actually think his name is Sammy the Bull.
Yeah. Good fit. Nice fit, Mike.
Thank you.
Christopher Walken.
Well, he is from Brooklyn, and so he could be the Nets guy. Christopher Walken. I feel like Portland. Kind of off kilter. Little bit. Not in the mainstream.
Kind of an ironic voice too, you know. Yeah. It's a, you know, Everyone's got a Christopher Walken impression. Let's hear yours, Mike. Go.
No.
Go, let's hear it.
Oh, that, yeah, the Mike, most fun game Mike, to play is
Mike,
like,
please, go ahead.
Yeah, press the button,
say,
do it.
Say what you're saying in Christopher Walken's voice.
Let me get your
is that Christopher
Angela Walken's Merkel impression, please.
Gene Hackman. I don't know why, but I feel like the Celtics.
Just yeah, like, okay, angry, yeah, like aggressive.
Yeah.
Feels discounted.
Yeah.
Who's this next person?
Malcolm McDowell.
Never heard of him.
Clockwork Orange.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So anyways.
There you go. That's
cares, who cares about that guy?
Hey, yo, do you play Daily Fantasy? Do you? I do. If you do, you should be playing on Draft. You should get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel and DraftKings. This is true. The data shows 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. Now, if you're not a pro and you're not some creep who's spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing at it on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven. On Draft, you do a simple snake draft just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last just for one day, and they take only minutes to complete. So I have Draft on my phone. I just did a quick game yesterday, and I got Russell Westbrook with like the 3rd pick, and I crushed it, which was improbable. That would never happen with DraftKings or whatever else. So download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ABPN when you download, and you'll get 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store, and be sure to enter the promo code ABPN.
Mike, let's do news around the league. Let's just get that in there.
It's the news!
All right, go, go.
All right, this is news around the league. So sort of the biggest news in NBA is that Andrew Bogut has broken a bone in his leg, and that it looks like he may be done. It's kind of, whenever they put indefinitely on it, you never know, but it seems like he may be done for the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, broke his leg.
He broke a bone in his leg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He broke a bone in his leg.
Would you hold it against him if he... I mean, he should probably retire at this point. Let alone come back this season.
So, this is tough to say. But I've been worried about the process of which the buyout guys have then gone to top contending teams. And I do say, kind of karmically, I'm not happy that Andrew Bogut has a broken bone in his leg, but I'm happy that the Cavaliers don't have Andrew Bogut. Because this is how I feel. I think it's this whole like buyout veterans thing adds just a whole ridiculous layer to rich get richer. It makes it the NBA less competitive. The fact that the NBA could have had the best or second best team in the league, could have added a pretty decent point guard in Darren Williams, and then like a really pretty good center who was just walked straight in.
How did you feel when Darren Williams choked on that game winner the other night?
I'm happy for all of Darren's
failures
on the court.
Yeah.
I maybe it's because like I'd rather just be like, I'm not even saying where it's like I'm against super teams. Like I'm not against LeBron joining Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade or Kevin Durant joining whoever. I'm 100% against this guy. Tons of guys getting bought out. Darren Williams, Bogut, Brandon Jennings to the Wizards, you know, Calderon, who's going to go, Matt Barnes to the Warriors. I'm happy because I think if Bogut had been healthy and Williams had been healthy and then Kevin Love come back, I don't think there's anyone in the world that could have beaten the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad as
really?
A best.
You think Bogut puts them over the?
Yeah, because he gave them something that they did not have. He gave them, because he's better than Mozgov, and Mozgov gave them something last year that was like, he was the big man that could help get a bunch of rebounds, that could give them 15 minutes a game, bully people around, screens, all that stuff. All that stuff matters. And now that he's not in a part of the equation, it makes things a little bit more even. The Warriors are hurting right now because Durant's not there. They're
banged up.
And they're banged up. They're not really doing that well. I don't know. I'm happy.
You think that the, he's the basketball not in the gods are talking to
a
us
a little bit,
and we need to read into those.
And I'm not like I just think it's like a little unbecoming of the situation in the league that these guys can just immediately depart their teams in decent situations. This season more than any other season is more than just like these guys at the end of their careers.
Yeah.
On crappy teams.
Been pretty flagrant. I mean, the Deron Williams thing is especially, somebody tweeted out, I forget who, it was like, he's being paid $10 million this year by teams to not play for them, like something like that. Yeah.
And I also
it's
think
aggressive.
I don't know how you would ever do this, but there should be some barrier that if you're this hot, good of a player, you can't be bought out.
Yeah.
Like, like
this good of a player.
Like, because it's
difficult. Yeah.
It's unfair that Cleveland can just get him.
Well, you know how they fix this. Give the team a salary cap. This is what I've always been saying. You've probably heard me say this 100 times. You give the team a salary cap, right? But not the individual, right? So you create a salary cap by proxy for the players themselves. So if you give them whatever it is, $100 million to play with every season, and you have to assemble a roster that has a there's a floor and a ceiling. So the $100 million, whatever the floor is $70 million or something. Then you could give LeBron James his $100 million a year.
Right.
And you'd have to, you know, sign some guys off the street to play with them. That would create the kind of parity. So at least when Steph Curry goes to free agency or Kevin Durant goes to free agency, the Sixers have a shot at him, you know, because if he wants to get paid $100 million a season, that's something they can do for him.
It would make free agency so much more valuable. Yeah. It's so much more interesting.
Yeah.
And it would create parity. It like would legitimately create parity.
Have you looked at the rules for the 3-on-3 league that they're doing?
No.
It's actually, some of them are like, I think that they're going to get like XFL style picked up and used.
What
into.
Are they?
One of the ones that I really liked was the no personal fouls rule. And the once you get over the however many, like 4 or 5 team foul limit, the opposing team, the team that gets fouled, gets 2 shots and the ball. So it like, you know, effectively solves the problem of hack-a-shacking.
I saw that somewhere, and I think I saw it in another league too.
What like this is that's what you want.
Yeah, that's what you want. I mean what I want is an entire and the number one rule I want is no timeouts.
It solves the problem of affecting a timeout with the free throws all the time.
Yeah.
I think if they don't pick this up, I don't know why. I'm sure somebody's talked to them about this. I'm sure this is not the first time this has come up in, you know, the 20 years that they've been thinking about new rules.
Wow.
Has to. I mean, try to figure out why that wouldn't work for the NBA at this point.
And it's always like the excuse of like not like the Hack-a-Shack stuff and all that baloney. It's like, I don't know, just like they always talk about like you can't, they don't legislate too many rules about fouling because then it completely changes how people do stuff. But it's just like, I don't know. I mean, that rule makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
When's the 3-on-3 starting? It's probably going to start at the end after the NBA season.
You know
what?
I just read this and I forgot now.
I'm going to be really interested to see the appetite for people's for people to watch that because there's a lot of nostalgia.
I think it's genius. I think it's a genius. Like the to go after old players that had careers that are like, you know, Steven Jackson, like a player people, you know, ostensibly care about personality wise. Watch that guy in his twilight doing this. I think it'd be super fun.
And the fact that they're doing 3-on-3 makes so much more sense because
it
gives the game a little bit of a different spin. It takes less.
I think it's 3-on-3 half court too, which is
oh really?
Yeah, half court. Which is basically how I like to play basketball if I possibly can. That's my. I think that's the purest form.
I have to play full court because it's like the only thing I got is that like.
Wait, you're a hustler?
Yeah, I'm a
hustler.
Stop. Oh yeah,
really?
PJ Tucker.
God, I hate. Dude. Gotta hate that.
One other story for you, and then I got food news. I love so the LeVar Ball era. Okay, LeVar Ball is Lonzo Ball's dad, and what we've been getting a brewing storm out there in the NBA is LeVar Ball's been growing and growing in his media presence because he keeps going on these radio shows and he says kind of crazy stuff about his son. The craziest thing he said about his son is that. He is better than Steph Curry, and everyone gets everyone gets so mad. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can he think that? Okay. So then LeVar Ball was on Colin Cowherd's show today. A dad of a college player ended up on, you know, Fairly Big Sports Show. And at some point when LeVar Ball had said that my son is better than Steph Curry, Barkley had been asked about that, Charles Barkley, and he says, I know you can be proud of your son, but at some point it becomes stupidity. So LeVar Ball today says, if Charles thought like me, maybe he'd win a championship.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I love...
What a maniac. I love that.
Right? Yeah. Isn't that great? Like, so there's like, there's stories out there about people
Has LeVar Ball won a championship of any kind?
No. Three good sons.
Yeah.
Three seemingly great basketball playing sons. And it's, what's fantastic is, you know, there's tons of people who've been writing already that like, our team's going to stay away from Lonzo because of Lonzo's dad.
Really?
Because the dad's just an S-talker.
He's that bonker. Yeah. He's that bonkers.
But it's like, how is this not fun? How is this not fun for our overall enjoyment in the NBA that, like, the craziest parent in the NBA that we've had recently is Pam McGee, JaVale McGee's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But her son is trash, so no one cares about him.
Yeah.
Like, besides Shaq, which is also ridiculous. But we're about to have one of the best young players in the NBA. His dad is, like, just an S-talker to the nth degree, and it's going to be... I mean, especially in the day with social media, everything that he can reach people now, he's going to be tweeting at, I don't know, someone when his son is playing in the playoffs at some point. He's going to be saying stuff. It's going to be bulletin board material. I'm ready for Crazy Parent 3.0 in the NBA. He's going to give it to us. And his son is awesome.
So butthurt that we're not going to get to watch. As well, I mean, among so many other players,
the terrible trade.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. By the way, speaking of trades, how are you liking? What's your experience watching Bojan Bogdanović?
It's amazing.
Blossom on Washington right now.
I mean, I called it on our Twitter.
I was on the Nets daily boards, and some people were giving that specific. They like linked to that tweet. They're like, "This guy is such a like an idiot. Look at this loser." And now he's like dropping 6 and 8 threes every night, and it's just...
I think he's averaging like something like 70% from 3-point range. Yeah.
And specifically does, just on court demeanor-wise, look like Klay Thompson. Like, actually looks like him. The way that he shoots, it has a very similar release. Like, it's... nothing... I fault you for everything. I don't think you've ever made an astute observation, really. This one you locked in. And a bunch of people gave you some... And I think they need to publicly apologize. But you know what they need to do? They need to make an app or something for, like, the apology to, like, the thing. Like, sometimes people, like... misquote us on Twitter or like, you know, and this drives me crazy. Someone would be like, these guys said this, and be like, well, 10 seconds later you find out that we like amended it and like talked about it to, you know, more or something. But then that's it. It's out there. There's nothing you can do like that. And then like people see that and be like, ah, what a bunch of jerks. They haven't listened to it. And then it keeps going. Like,
but how do we do that? How would you figure? There's no way.
I'm gonna figure it out.
There's no way to put the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tub.
I'm gonna figure it out. It's gonna be called the tube. That's what it's gonna be called.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's it.
It's gonna be called the bag for putting the cat back in the bag. Pandora's box.
I mean, I'll say I'm the foremost. No one in the world was as specially qualified to understand the complexities the Bojan Bogdanović trade to the Wizards than me, I think. And yeah. I knew it was coming. And it's happening.
I think we actually
wrote about him in his blog post today on his website that I read.
How often does Bradley Beal write on his website?
This is, I think, his first article. Literally, because John Wall tweeted it out.
It's not the stupid Players Tribune, right?
No. It's his own website. And what was hilarious about it was, so Scott Brooks is in the first year of the Wizards. And so they obviously had coach Randy Whitman before Scott Brooks. Bradley Beal played under Randy Whitman. It was kind of known that Randy Whitman wasn't players didn't really love him as much. And the first thing about the stories about why this year is different in DC from Bradley Beal's perspective, and the main reason, the first thing said, the first paragraph was Scott Brooks, new coach, he's brought a change of culture, he's made us actually feel like we want to play basketball. It's like, oh my god, these guys are just throwing these coaches on the bus. But yeah, no, I knew Bojan would work, because Bojan never should have been the ISO Bojan that this Nets team had to stand for so many years. He's stand and shoot Bojan.
Yeah.
He's catch a pass, maybe dribble three times, and then pass again Bojan. There's no more Bojan that we need to see.
I watched a bunch of those, watched one of the games and a bunch of the highlights. He looks very at ease already.
One last thing.
Yeah, please.
One of the co-founders of the Waffle House has died, unfortunately. him and his friend opened up a Waffle House in Georgia. They expanded it. Now there's 400 restaurants and blah, 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 blah. Have you ever had Waffle House?
No.
Okay.
I don't like waffles. It's not that I, it's not that I, okay, I won't say
that's
I,
actually not surprising coming from you.
It's not that I don't like them. I just don't understand the infatuation. I don't, it's not, it's never a thing that I'll be like,
have you eaten a waffle?
Yeah, I've had waffles before. It's just, I don't know. What, explain to me exactly what is so goddamn good about a waffle.
They are, if made correctly and topped with the correct toppings.
So here, that, okay, that's exactly it. That's, it's a gross syrup mattress. It just sucks up the syrup and the butter, and that's what it is. That's all it is.
It's a great description. I'll give you that.
So it's people, it's like syrup yeah. fiends. That's who likes this thing.
No, but I've been to crappy diners and they make a great waffle and you don't need like amazing syrup like that I happen to have, you know, because I go to Vermont,
but you need
often.
A boatload of crappy syrup. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I think I could eat a waffle without syrup and be totally happy with it. If the batter
just
is good.
A plain waffle.
If the batter
nothing
is
on
good,
it.
If the batter is good and it is crispy and flaky and buttery in itself, it is a good thing.
Here's what I'll give you. Here's what I'll give
okay,
you.
Okay, Mr. Artichoke Dip, just be careful. What road Mike, you're gonna walk?
I've never met anybody that said a bad word about artichoke dip, and I've talked and after
you
have we talked about this on the air? I went around and like did like a census of people around me, and everyone's like, "That kid, something wrong with a guy that doesn't like artichoke dip."
It's the first thing that Colin, one of our dedicated listeners and your very good friend, said to us.
Yeah,
said to me.
Yeah, he was concerned about your about your palate.
Colin, who I like knew in college, he was like, the first thing.
Yeah,
not even hello. It was
yeah.
It was like artichoke dip, huh? It's like,
here's what I'll give you. A Belgian waffle, pillowy, throw some of that berry sauce.
Compote?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Compote.
What is a compote?
It's a sauce.
All right, yeah.
It's a chunky sauce.
Throw some of that berry compote on there.
Compote.
And now you've got my attention. But still, it's not going to be anywhere near a pancake. It's not going to touch like eggs and bacon.
I think we've stumbled upon a new killer comparison. Mm. Three most overrated foods, and I won't put artichoke dip in there. What is overrated? What's a food? So I will say straight up, because I've had a couple experiences with this, truffles, truffle oil, that is disgusting. It is gross. It's expensive. And I don't appreciate it.
You've got a layman's tongue. That's what this is. What I'm under. This is what I'm understanding.
Sorry, I'm not.
You don't have a dimp.
The area of New Jersey where you're from, which I won't say because you won't want me to. It's it would ruin your tough guy mystique. Your
who's
every
got
man's
a tough guy mystique.
Oh, you
I've got a tough guy. All right. Now I see what's.
Do you
want to
tell people
here.
Where you're from?
From Montclair, New Jersey.
Tony Montclair.
I put the town on my back.
Okay, Springsteen.
Put that town on my back.
All right.
You're
down at the docks.
Truffles over. I mean, like, I guess I could buy that they're overrated just because, like, you know, they.
Yeah, that's the name.
But
of
they're
the
not
game.
Disgusting. They're pretty good.
Pretty gross.
I'll have to think about this.
All right, we'll get back into it.
I mean, waffles probably really high. Bubble tea. Why are there bubble tea stores everywhere up in this area? And when I come here, there's like everyone's got bubble tea.
Not gonna walk down that road. I mean, I've tried bubble tea.
I don't even understand the physics of bubble tea. What is going on in there?
The tapioca. It just isn't for me. I don't like when I'm drinking something. I don't like anything other than the consistency of either a milkshake or either like water, like straight liquid.
So nothing in between milkshake, just like
yeah. If it's a milkshake,
what about
it's
something that's effervescent, like the delicious Caribbean ale you have?
No. This is I'm classifying this liquid, but I don't want like I don't know liquid with bits of
you don't want
of
bits
solids.
Yeah,
you
that's
don't
want any,
what
any
I don't want
groceries in your
yeah
in your beverage. I get there it. You. I get it. We see eye to eye on that one thing.
Question for you.
Shoot.
Do the Nets win all their games for the rest of the year?
You know what? I think they've really enjoyed. Let me put my Caribbean gear down. I think they've really enjoyed making Memphis unhappy. I think they took a real, like, Jeremy Lin did a hush to the crowd who was already very, very hushed, not even close to being loud.
I felt exactly the same thing.
And it's kind of out of character for Jeremy Lin. I think that's an expression you see. That's more of a.
Deshaun Stevenson
right.
type.
Yeah, that's a more outwardly antagonistic kind of person. And I think they really enjoyed, you know, they've taken a lot of crap media-wise and probably internally and given themselves a hard time. They're going to really enjoy, like, playing the souring of other people's playoffs ambitions role, like just chipping away people's playoff seeds. I think that they really are going to like that.
This is going to be an important end of the season because
yeah, so important, Mike. Please,
they do have Jeremy Lin back, and he is playing with Brooke Lopez. And if
we have to have some sample,
yes,
we have to have some
data. As we hear from Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson, there needs to be data.
Otherwise, if there's not data, we got to be looking in the offseason about a point guard. If he gets hurt again, if there's another, and
oh
God forbid,
God.
Hey, I'm not saying that's, you know, mum's the word on this thing. I don't want to jinx anything. If God forbid he, you know, takes a tumble on the hamstring.
Can
size,
I be honest?
Please.
If there is a headline, Jeremy Lin hurts his hamstring, they have to move on. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
They have to consider another point guard. It cannot.
And we're moving him to the second line?
They just have to go get another point guard. They cannot rely on Jeremy Lin anymore. If he gets another hamstring injury, it may not happen. Let's hope it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, if it happens again.
No, Mike, of course let's hope it doesn't happen. That goes without saying. I can't believe you'd even say me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's but this is a very important, you know, data assembly, and they're playing. You know, God bless them. They're playing their hearts out, at least in Memphis, you know, once in a while, just to see what it's like. Just to see what it's like, Mike.
I think that's a good way to end the show.
Yeah, let's leave it there. Take us out, Mike.
All right. You know, check us out, Almighty Baller Network, netsdaily.com, at BK Glue Guys on Twitter, iTunes. Please give us a rating. And thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Take care. Good night.
Knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.